Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 117, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this National Day of Prayer, and thank you for the opportunity for us as the people of God to come together in a special way to come before you in prayer, to lift up our nation, to lift up our world, and lift up the needs and concerns that lay before us. Father, anoint the church afresh with the spirit of prayer and intercession. Empower us to be the praying people and the worshiping people you've called us to be, and guide us and help us more and more to do it and make it a lifestyle, to where we seek you in prayer just throughout the day, every day, throughout all of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. We commit the program into your hands. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for joining us here on the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Our phone guest, our initial phone guest, is Ms. Mary Tome, who is the Vice President of Esther Network International. Mary, how are you today?
I'm well, Pastor Joseph. Thank you. And blessed National Day of Prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking time to be with us on the broadcast today. And along with talking some about the National Day of Prayer, as we start, Mary, I want to ask if you'll start off by sharing with our listeners a little bit more about you and the ministry you work with.
Yes, thank you. The Esther Network International is a global intercessory prayer ministry for the whole church, adults, young people, children alike. Began back in the 80s with my dear pastor's wife in Florida, Esther Ilniski, who has written a book called Let the Children Pray. Mm-hmm. She and her pastor husband, Bill, have been at the Ministry of Marriage and Prayer for 64 years now, I believe they're into it. So God has just had us on a mission of intercession, spreading it throughout the whole church, gathering the grandmothers and the infants and the children and the teenagers together to pray.
Okay, okay. And so the mission of Esther Network International, specifically state the mission once again, please.
Is to train up intercessors in families and in the church around the world, including all of the ages. And we do that through do and teach workshops for adults, as well as our children's global movement, which is the World Shapers Club, a way that we're connecting children around the world, because God's doing this around the world. He is he's raising up the generations, the young generations, to pray for their families, for their neighborhoods, for their nations. And so through our World Shapers Club, we're connecting them.
Okay. And, you know, Mary, in having had the opportunity to speak with you more about your work, I've picked up on the fact that you have a big heart for the church to teach and train, especially to teach and train children to pray and become intercessors as well. And, you know, as we talk about that a little bit, I want you to share your heart on why it's so important for us, again, as parents, grandparents, as pastors, as leaders, to really draw children in and put them to work in the kingdom of God, especially in the area of prayer.
Oh, I like that. Put them to work. Put them to work. You know, Pastor, Scripture says, without addition, people perish. Mm-hmm. And so often when we use the word people, we don't think of the little people. We don't think of the children. Mm-hmm. And we lose so many of our children because we give them an initial introduction to Jesus. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers. Thank God for parents who teach them at their knees to know Jesus. And we teach them all the stories from the Bible. And then we pretty much tell them, you know, wait till you grow up to be the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the psalmist, the intercessor. And we've lost something in the middle. And the American church is really behind a lot of the rest of the world when it comes to raising up the children to step into these shoes, to step into the gap of intercession, to train up the children beyond just mommy, daddy, grandma prayers, which all have a place, but we need to mature them early on. Mm-hmm. the American church, I'm thinking, you know, this National Day of Prayer, and we all know Second Chronicles 7:14 so well, where we're called to repent for our wicked ways.
That's right.
And one of the synonyms for the word wicked is the word crooked.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of our children, in terms of nurturing the spiritual maturity of our children, this is one way our church has gone crooked. We've gone awry. We've gone askew. We've gone off the path of what God intended from the beginning. You go back to, you know, the Old Testament and the Hebrews, the God's people, and, you know, when they were called to prayer, everybody came.
That's right.
When
That's
the
right.
multitudes went out,
the whole families.
In the New Testament to hear Jesus preach, the whole family came. In fact, it was a child who shared his lunch.
That's
and
right.
A good mom at home who packed that lunch, and a child shared his lunch.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Lord rebuked his disciples for trying to hinder the children. Mm-hmm. Children were trying to climb on Jesus' lap and have him pray for them, and the disciples were going, no, the master's too busy. No, the master's about important things.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus openly rebuked his disciples, openly, publicly rebuked them and said, no, you've got it wrong, guys. According to Matthew 18, he says, we've got to be like one of these. He stood a child up in the midst and said, we have to be one like these. We have to be childlike, not childish, if you
That's
want
right.
to see the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've made rooms for the children in the church today. We've got children's church, and we've got our youth groups, and all that's wonderful. They have a part. But in many of our churches, dare I say most of our churches today, that if you were to look in the spiritual sense, you might see a sign outside the main sanctuary door that says, you must be this tall to enter here, just like the rides at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only time a lot of our children and our teenagers see the main sanctuary and become really the blended church, the corporate church, is when they're coming to do a Christmas play or an Easter cantata.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically performing.
That's
and
right.
we clap and we say, oh, that's wonderful, aren't they? Aren't they cute? And they are, but there's so much more to them that we need to raise them up.
You know, Mary, I think of a passage that comes to my mind is in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus himself, as a 12-year-old child, he specifically refers his response to his parents when they ask, why have you done this? Him, of course, remaining in Jerusalem when they'd headed on. Well, Jesus was where he was supposed to be. And he said, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Yes, as a 12-year-old, very much so.
Yes, absolutely. And in Luke also, it says that he talks about the spiritual authority that God has given to us,
mm-hmm.
and that there's safety in it, that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. There's safety in it. And that he's revealed these things not to the wise and the learned, but to the children.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of that says, and it pleased God to do this.
That's right.
So
that's right.
The devil is out to get our children. If he can't get them through abortion, then he's out to get them from the earliest years. I mean, I just read in the, I guess probably on the internet the other day, how they want to now teach the LGBTQ philosophy, if you will, to our kindergartners.
And that is so sad.
We must
so
equip
sad.
Them. We must equip our children. We you know, you don't have to stay on the milk of the world just because you're a child.
That's right.
We need to mature them so that they can do what it says in Psalms 8:2, so that their praise and their prayers can silence their foe and avenger.
Well, Mary, would you go ahead, take time now, pray for the church to really grasp the need to make it a priority to really teach, to lead our children to Christ, and then to help them to become warriors in the kingdom of God. Would you just lift that matter up in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to you on behalf of the children, on behalf of the generations, on behalf of the 50% or so of our world today that are under the age of 20, Father God. We talk about seeing the sheaves of wheat that are white unto harvest, and if we put faces on them, Lord, they're children and young people. So I pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of the understanding of the fathers of the church,
yes,
of the
Lord,
leaders
Jesus
of the church, God. Of the fathers of the homes, Father God, to see what you see in the children, what you've birthed in your children in this generation for such a time as this, Father God. Ministry, prayer, intercession in their spiritual DNA for such a time as this, Father God. You have put it in them, just like the facility to fix our computers when they go awry, to download an app, to build a website, Father God. Ministry is in their spiritual DNA. And we pray, Father, that you would make room for them in all the spiritual life of the church, that they would be the church, Father, yes, of tomorrow, but also the church of today, so that we don't lose them. We don't create spiritual abortion in our families and in our churches by neglect or by not recognizing that it's the same Holy Spirit. Father, do a work in our churches. Do a work in the spiritual leaders of our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the ministry that Mary is a part of, Esther Network International. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we in the body of Christ have of being able to help lead our children to Jesus Christ, to help them to come to know him as Lord and Savior, but then also to disciple them, to teach them and train them to become warriors in your kingdom and to become intercessors, young people that love you and will pray for the things on your heart and in your mind. Lord, help us as parents to be faithful to teach and train our children to become prayers and intercessors. And help us in the church as pastors to be faithful to make it a high priority to really minister specifically to our children as well, effectively and faithfully, to teach and train them and to pray for them, they would raise up and become warriors, not later, but now as well, growing to become stronger and stronger in you as well. Teach us, guide us, and empower us to make that the priority you want it to be for the Church of Jesus Christ, and show us exactly what that looks like and how we should and are supposed to do that in our homes, in our churches, and in our outreach ministries. We thank you and we praise you. And thank you for this ministry, Lord. Bless it and prosper the work of their hands. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, Mary, can you tell us a little bit more specifically about how Esther Network International works with children, some of the things that you do to lead them in the direction of becoming intercessors, even as young children?
Well, we have wonderful prayer tools that we use. If we were to come to your church, let's say, Pastor Joseph, we would come to your church, we would have you get your children's workers, we would have you get your leaders of your church together. Hopefully, you and senior pastor would come, and we would do a training session based on Acts 1:1, where Jesus began to do and to teach. Mm-hmm. And we would teach the work of intercession while we do it. We might lay a laminated map on the floor and have them stomping on the floor, because the word tells us that everywhere our feet touch, we can claim that for the kingdom, and that we can stomp on serpents and scorpions and nothing shall in any means harm us. We might toss our glow ball, and the children will give the world a hug for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And like today on our World Shapers Club calendar that we have today is pray for all of those with the same name as you. Mm-hmm. So you'd pray for all the Josephs, I'd pray for all the Marys, and think of how many we'd be touching with that. So we have a lot of tools that God has given to us to prime the pump for intercession and to get them focused. We tell them, you know, pray for others like yourself. If you live in a single-parent family, pray for all those single-parent families. If you wear glasses, pray for all the kids who wear glasses. And just simple things like that. But we also want to take them global. Mm-hmm. We want them to identify with the children who have suffered, like we know, in Syria and Iraq and the nations of Africa that the UN just now declared four of them to be in states of famine with 20 million people. So we take them global, and God takes them deep because they can relate and they can cry out.
We're going to jump in right here, Mary. We're coming up on a break and we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Mary Tomes. She's the Vice President of Esther Network International and Intercessory Prayer Ministry, amongst other things. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Out of all the people in the world, we've all done or will do the following. Be birthed into this earth, grow, go to school, maybe go to college, get married, have kids, grow old, and die. Doesn't sound too eventful when put in that perspective. For many, the thought of discipling someone is foreign from the mind and not even on the to-do list. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus tells us to go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A disciple is more than a student, he or she is a follower of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing like being a Christian. It's a life filled with adventures. Receiving an education, vacationing, marriage, having kids are good, but there's nothing like taking the time to nourish someone in God's word so that they can be a force to be reckoned with. That is priceless. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order your family's copy today at afastore.net.
Music of Covenant Church, the song Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Father, again, we thank you for this National Day of Prayer. We thank you for the many churches, many organizations, many ministries, many people that have come together at different events and different places to come to you in prayer, to lift up our nation, to lift up our world, to lift up the concerns and the issues that lay before us in this day and time. Lord, pour out a spirit of prayer and intercession afresh upon the church and empower us to be more and more the praying church you want us to be. Father, I pray that you would anoint families to make their homes more of an altar and a house of prayer, Lord. Yeah. Move upon the hearts of husbands and wives to pray together on a daily basis, and move upon parents to pray together and to pray daily and to teach and train their children to pray, just as Esther Network International does. And Lord, help us to make it our goal to do this, not just simply for special days such as this, but Lord, teach us and empower us as a lifestyle to be a praying people in everything we do. Help us to recognize, Lord, that as we learn to bring everything before you in prayer, more and more we'll see your hand and your grace and your spirit working in us and through us and around us. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be a people of prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, our guest is Mary Tome. She's the vice president of Esther Network International. And Mary, can you tell me, too, like with your ministry that works largely with children and young people as well, do you see that churches are really catching on and catching the vision for what you're teaching and encouraging them to do?
Some have, definitely. Some are far ahead of others. As we said earlier, the church in the U.S. is behind. We are behind. I don't want to get into the reasons, and I don't want to paint too broad a picture, but we are definitely behind where we need to be for the sake of the children, for the sake of the kingdom, mm-hmm. for the sake of our families. The intergenerational aspect of prayer, because once you've modeled this before the children and you've trained them up, you've equipped them to understand what it means to stand in the gap and to pray, and that they're so important, that Jesus hears their prayers, that their prayers are important to him, and he answers them, and you bring the generations together. One of the things that it does, Pastor Joseph, is it brings healing to the children themselves and to the families themselves doing the praying. Mm-hmm. I know you talk to your listeners about changing the culture in neighborhoods and nations, changing the culture in the church. And intergenerational prayer does that. It has been proven that, you know, we used to say a family that prays together stays together. Well, you know, that's not too far from the scriptural truth that reconciliation in families today that's so necessary, that's a natural fruit that comes out of praying together. Mm-hmm. So this is an important reason to pray. But then when we pray for the world and we think of, the child sitting there, maybe he's seen it on a computer or he's seen it on the news, and we talk about the famine, you know, in South Sudan or the warfare that's going on, and they don't know what to do about it.
That's right.
But if we can take it to prayer, then that burden, just like any adult intercessor, we take it to God in prayer, and that burden lifts.
That's right.
Then the child goes along, you know, his business, skips out, says, "I feel better now. That's great. I've done something about it because I've taken it to God, who's the only one that can do something about it." But Pastor, if I may, I'd like to read something.
Okay.
A number of years ago, were doing all nights of prayer at our church in Florida with Esther and Pastor Bill. Mm-hmm. And when we first started doing this, the parents would say, "Well, what am I going to do with my children?" And Esther said, "Well, just bring them. Bring a pillow, bring a sleeping bag. They can sleep on the pew or under the pew or what have you."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'd be going on. It'd be 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And guess who's in the sleeping bags?
Who's that?
The adults. They're in the sleeping bag, or they're in the break room getting coffee or something. And during some of these things, we had two really interesting things happen. One time, a little girl went through the sanctuary. She's waking them all up. She went in the break room, and she pulled them all back into the sanctuary, and she put her hands on her hip, and she looked, and this firebrand, this world shaper, says, "It's time to pray, not play. It's time to weep, not sleep."
Mm-hmm. The little girl kind of rallied.
The little girl. Mm-hmm. And then a group of young boys came up another night of prayer, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and they're so excited, they're bursting at the seams. Their faces are aglow. Miss Esther, look what God's given us. And what he gave them at that time, I don't think we understood how prophetic it was, Pastor Joseph, but I want to read this to your audience here.
Oh, okay.
"Does children cry? See the tears in their eyes. The devil has given them such a lie. Stop the lie from getting inside. Tell the truth. Hurting children, they need help. If only Jesus' love could be felt. Tanks and soldiers and fighting out there, there's a reason to be a house of prayer. That's why God is doing this all over the world, stirring up the children, stirring up the young people, those who in Africa, who they are the generation. The older generation is gone. They're becoming the mentors and the leaders. Their children, God is raising them up to change the face and the fate of their families and their neighborhoods and their nations for the time in which we live and for the time that they will inherit. But there won't be much to inherit if we don't speak to these gifts now, develop these gifts now. If the young person says, "I feel God's called me to be a missionary," well, get out the map, get out the missions magazines, and be a missionary on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
If the young one says, "I think I'm called to be a pastor," Well, maybe Pastor will give him 5 minutes to expound upon a verse of Scripture, you know, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. They're the church of today as well.
That's right.
And we need
to
welcome them, and we need to make room for them. We need adults who will train them up and release them to all that God has for them.
Hmm. Well, I want to ask, if you would, now, Mary, would you just pray specifically for what you've just shared, that the church will really catch a vision to really embrace what you're talking about?
Father, we do. Every month we pray about people catching
Thank
the vision.
You,
the children,
Jesus.
The children have asked and prayed, Lord, that their parents and their pastors would catch the vision. And so, Lord, I'm just praying back to you the
Thank
prayers
you,
of
Lord
the children.
Jesus.
Well, you get it. You understand us. You know what's in us. God has shown you. We want this. Can you tell my mama about this? Can you tell
Thank
my pastor
you,
about this?
Jesus.
And so, Father, I'm just giving back the prayers of the children to you, the desire that you have put in them to be a full-fledged member of the body of Christ, Lord God, to be
Thank you, Lord,
the
Jesus.
Spirit, Lord, spirit, soul, and body. We take care of the souls and the bodies of our children. We're good parents.
Thank you, Lord.
We're good,
Jesus.
And you are a good father who gives good gifts to his children.
Thank you, Lord,
and so,
Jesus.
Father, we want to reverse this. We want it to be spirit, soul, and
Thank
body,
you, Lord,
that we nurture
Jesus.
The spirit even more than we do the souls and the bodies of our children, so that they will have a vision, so that they will not perish, Father God,
Thank you,
and
Lord
so that
Jesus.
They will fulfill the gifts and callings and the plans and purposes that you have for them.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. In Jesus'
amen.
Name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mary. You know, I want to share a concept that I heard one pastor refer to. He talked about the nature of a faucet, and he said some faucets drip, but then sometimes that same faucet, if you turn it wide open, the water gushes out. And he explained, and through his explanation, our prayer life is a grace faucet. And he said, God doesn't just want it to drip. He wants it to be turned wide open. And I think that's a great picture of what we have the potential to do, obviously in our own lives. But if our children can do the same thing, and they can, they too can pour grace, help pour the grace of God into the world in greater measure through their prayer life. And so,
absolutely.
So just, again, mobilizing our children is such a wise thing for us to do. You know,
it is. It's wonderful. May I share a few stories?
Yes, go right ahead.
About the children. Some of the most recent examples that are the results of the prayers of the children, of them beginning to identify with those like themselves around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very simple one. We have World Shapers in India,
mm-hmm.
and our World Shapers here, especially our small group here in Boone, North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
they've been playing for the school fees that a little World Shaper over there, Joshua, needed, his school fees to be able to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Joshua's got his school fees. And so we
Praise
pray for
God.
Children all over the world for the not only the school fees, but for them to have the books and the papers. And we tell them how, you know, to imagine what does a classroom look like in rural Africa or in India as opposed to where you go to school every day. What do you think the needs are there? In Africa, we've been praying for several nations. I tell you, Pastor, God's heart is out there for Africa. He's got the children praying because so many of these nations, again, the general population is so young. And we've been praying for Africa. And in Uganda, I bet there's a lot of your listeners today that have never had this response to prayer before, this answer to their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're working with Good Shepherd Primary School in Uganda, and we just heard from them that they got an eight-seater latrine.
Hmm. Okay, and of course.
Now, you can see the eyes on the children here.
Mm-hmm.
They also got rain.
Mm-hmm.
Our children, were on the laminated map of the world with their hands on Africa, repenting for the sins of Africa, asking God to show mercy and to send rain to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he sent rain to Uganda. The seeds have been planted, and I got word just today. I asked today for John because I wanted to be able to share this. Their seeds are growing. So
that's good.
The children, when they see the prayers, they see the answers to the prayers, their faith just comes up, just like us. They're no different than we are when we see an answer to prayer.
That's
it just spurs us to more prayer.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. That's great, Mary. And I appreciate you sharing those kinds of testimonies can touch your heart because, and of course, it reflects the different needs in different communities. But as you said, answered prayer can bring joy to your heart in any context and in any situation. So,
yes.
Okay. Well, did you have any another story or two to share before our time is almost gone? We've got a few more minutes, though.
I have a very personal one.
Okay.
As an intercessor, as a pastor, you know, anyone who is a prayer in this day and age who understands the global picture knows that we pray for the situation of human trafficking and for like the Nigerian girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, our little 2-year-old grandson was kidnapped 2 weeks ago.
Hmm.
He was kidnapped. We have a Heavenly Father, and He had a praying Father. And we have all of you who have prayed and our world shapers who have prayed often for this situation. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, he was redeemed immediately. He was snatched from a store. Praise. He was in a woman's arms. By the grace of God, the getaway car wasn't parked by the building. She was hurrying through a parking lot. This is in a third world nation, hurrying through a parking lot. And his uncle, who was sitting in the car waiting for them to come out of the store, was not texting, he saw. Mm-hmm. He got out of the car, and he ripped our little one out of the arms of this stranger.
Praise God.
You never know when your prayer and your world, your prayers, your world are going to collide. You never know when you're going to get the answers to your own prayers and those that others are praying. Your prayer changes things.
Amen. And Mary, you know, that brings to my mind, that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us as believers to pray, obviously in English, but also to pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows how to prepare you for even the things you have no idea may happen, because He knows the future. He knows everything. So praying in every way, in every form God has made available for us to pray, and that's so, so important then. So Mary, would you just, you have a couple more minutes before our time runs out. Whatever's on your heart to pray for the church, would you lift them up in prayer at this time? Thank you, Lord.
Father, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for those that you put in spiritual leadership.
Thank you,
Lord. I thank you again for the Sunday school teachers who have labored so faithfully. Perhaps they're the most faithful laborers among us in your church.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, they bring the milk of the word to our little ones.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
About our God who loves them so and sent Jesus to die for them and to go to the cross for them, Father God. Thank you for these teachers. Thank you for these pastors, Lord Jesus. Father God. But I pray, Father God, that you would raise up those around your church, not just in America, but around the world, Father God, who will mentor.
Thank you, Lord.
Who will recognize, who will bless, who will say, what is the Lord saying to you?
Yes.
What are you hearing from God? What do you have to share with me? I pray, Lord, that you will validate your children.
Yes,
that you will validate your gifts that are in them. I pray for our teenagers and our tweens, Father God, that they will have hearts that beat after you as the deer after the water brook, Father God. I pray that we will not have spiritual abortion, that we will not lose our pastors, praisers, teachers, intercessors, Father God, because the church doesn't seem relevant to them. Father, I pray for the millennials who are saying, Lord, they just don't have any use for the church. They don't have any need for the church. They don't even have respect for the church. And Lord, we repent in the gap for the things that we as the church have done that have caused some of that, Father God. But Lord, your word tells us, your word tells us in Hebrews 10:25 that as we see this day coming, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. At the family altar, at the prayer in church, Father God, bring them together, Lord.
Amen. Mary, thank you so much for being with us. Again, our guest has been Mary Tome, Vice President of Esther Network International. We'll be right back after this break.
In case you missed it.
Well, I wear my expressions on my face, so Dainty C would know right off if you say something that I don't like. Okay.
And it could, you know, on my part, it may not even be intentional.
But what if your husband's face is always serious? I never know.
But no, you got that face. Every husband has that disapproval face.
Yeah, they do. Y'all do. You know. That's ridiculous.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Listen to Stacey on the Right with Stacey Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacey on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Imagine having a secret identity so secret that you don't even know it. Dr. Tony Evans says that's true of all of us who don't understand Ephesians 2:10. You may just meet yourself for the first time today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God, first of all, wants you to know you are His workmanship. And the Greek word workmanship means masterpiece or work of art. Now that you are saved, He considers you a masterpiece. I don't care what your mama said about you. I don't care what your daddy said about you. Only what God says about you matters. God says He is crafting you into something that will blow your mind and everybody's mind who sees you when this work of art has been completed. You were told you were ignorant. You were told that you were never going to make anything of yourself. God says you are a masterpiece in the making. The Greek word workmanship also means poem. God looks at you so staggeringly great that He's sitting up writing poems about you because He's so excited about what you are designed to become. I didn't ask you how you feel. I didn't ask you what other people think. I don't even care what you think. God says you are a masterpiece. And until you start saying about you what God says about you, you'll be believing a lie and living a lie and not looking like the masterpiece you were created to be.
Learn more about who you were created to be and how to live out your purpose successfully. Check out Tony's CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit, when you visit tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family. We're grateful to have for this a final segment of our broadcast here on the National Day of Prayer, Mr. Robert Fernandez. He's one of the owners of the ministry called Cat in the Mill Productions. Did I get that right?
You got it. I know.
All right.
It's a little bit of a strange name, but we're an animation company.
Okay. All righty then. And Robert, again, you were with us this morning and shared your testimony and devotion and In just a few minutes, you shared a very, very powerful testimony of just part of your journey. So I'm going to ask if you'll jump right in and share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and how the Lord brought you to where you are that is what you can do in just a few minutes. But
sure.
All right.
Yeah, my pleasure. I think part of what I shared this morning was as an 8-year-old, I had a lot of questions. And one of the deep burning questions in my life when I was 8 was, why do I exist? Why am I here? Mm-hmm. And usually when I share that, sometimes people say, well, I mean, as an 8-year-old, really, were you thinking that? And I have to say I was. I mean, mm-hmm. It's not something I'm making up. Maybe I was a bit more of a thinker. I kind of lived in books and everything, and I thought a lot when I was a kid. And as I was growing up, in California. This was late 60s. And there was a lot of changes in the air. I'm originally from Latin America, from Costa Rica. And so going to California, experiencing change, and then seeing so much that was changing in society made me really question. And I had gone to my dad, and I had asked him that question, Dad, why is it that we exist? And at that point, my dad was going through a crisis of faith, which I didn't know until later. Thankfully, he's come to know the Lord in a very personal way now. But in mm-hmm. those days, he was a little taken aback by the question. And I'm not sure if he was he just didn't know how to answer, but he didn't like it. And he just kind of said, look, go play. What are you talking about? You know? And I walked away a little bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I always had a tendency to ask for like a Bible every Christmas. And, you know, of course, I got story Bibles and I kind of read through things.
So God was dealing with you even at that point.
God was working in my life even, I think, at a much early age, probably around the time of 6. I remember having a craving to know God. I just, the idea of religion always really appealed to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And after that whole incident with that question, as I started growing into the preteens and teens, they came to a point when I was about 11 years old where I believed in God, and I basically prayed, and I said, well, I believe that you're around. I believe that you exist, God, but you're so far removed from everything around here. And I mean, what does it matter if you're there?
So you were praying in your own way. Talking to God.
Yes, and it wasn't your typical prayer where I was saying, you know, Father God, help me with it. You know, it was more like I know you're there, but where are you? And because it doesn't seem like you want to be around, then I'm on my own, basically.
An inquiring mind and heart.
Yeah, but I believe that the Lord smiled that day. I really do, because it was not your typical prayer, but it was a sincere heart cry. Mm-hmm. From a young boy.
And what age was that?
That was 11.
11, okay.
And when I was, I kept on searching. I went through a lot of ups and downs, experimented with a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have. But when I was 14, I came back from this party, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I went to turn on the radio, and it was a rock station. It wasn't a Christian station. It was just a rock station. And this station was doing interviews on Sunset Boulevard, Sunset Strip. And so they're out with mics and they're asking people, I guess, kind of crazy things. And young people were saying stupid things back. You know, it was kind of like just being young, I guess. Mm-hmm. But one guy, somebody took the microphone, and in about, I would really say it was less than a minute, he said something about Jesus that for some reason, I can't explain it, but the way he said it, it made me listen. And I realized that this guy was talking about Jesus as if he knew him. And and I don't know how the Holy Spirit takes something that's only a few sentences or a verse or something and then creates this something that just kind of stops everything in your world, you know? Mm-hmm. And this young guy gave the verse, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And
see, Revelation
3:20.
3:20, okay.
And when the mic was taken away from him, it just did something to me. And I went to my room, and I remember I was very moved. And this, again, is something that's probably less than a minute. Mm-hmm. And I went in my room, and I sat on my bed and said, "Lord, if you're here, Jesus, if you're here, come into my life and show me why I exist." And I always explain it this way, that it was like my room was underneath the ocean and the ceiling burst and my room was full of this pressure, but it was the tangible love of God. And it was so real to me that it was almost like solid, like the air was solid. And I had this experience where I knew all of a sudden that Jesus had died for me personally. Can't explain how it was. I knew at the moment that Jesus had died for humanity, but I knew that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he knew I was going to exist. I know that's only God is only capable of doing that. And something happened to me in that night. I know that I've gone through a lot of ups and downs after that, and I went through a lot of experiences, but I did have one of those encounters where I was one person, and then all of a sudden I was a different person. And the next morning I woke up with a smile on my face. I remember so clearly. I went and I went to a store and I bought a Bible for $5. And I sat on the curb with an ice cream and I read the Bible, and everything was just alive. I mean, Jesus was everywhere. Jesus was in the trees. It was in the sky. It was this. And I went to a park, and there was this is like the 60s, right? So there was this people like laying around the park, and this one guy was just kind of sitting there, and I said, "Hey, can I tell you something?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, man, of course." And I said, "Well, this something happened to me last night. You know, this happened, and God came into my life, and I just wanted to say that Jesus is real." And the guy was just staring at me, you know, and it was like, "Wow, heavy man." And I just couldn't stop telling people. It was like I was just full of praise such God. Joy. So
you became an instant disciple like you're supposed to be.
Yeah, but the thing is, I didn't know anybody else that had gone through the same thing.
Right.
I didn't know. I didn't have the terminology for it. It took months before I actually met another born-again Christian. And what happened when I was like 4 months into this, I had started telling my story at school. And, you know, if we had to give speeches or write essays, I would write all about that.
About your faith.
About my faith. And then, well, what had happened? That's all I knew. It was like, this is what happened. I didn't have a label for it. And one time, one of my next door neighbors, his father was a printer, and I said, "Hey, can I write something? Will you print it for me?" And he says, "Well, I won't print it, but I'll mimeograph it." In the old days of mimeographed, you know. So I wrote my story in about, I don't know, 4 or 5 paragraphs. And he mimeographed like 100 pages, 100 copies. And so I went to like a mall. And I went out to the parking lot and I started distributing it. It was like, I didn't know that I was witnessing. I didn't know that I had salvation. All I knew was God is real and I have a purpose in my life. I don't know what it is, and the Lord just kind of branded me ever since, you know?
So fast forward today, how is that related to the work you do today?
Eventually, over the years, I ended up getting involved with, I did mission work, and I also got involved with media. Everywhere I went, I ended up somehow meeting people in the media, and I ended up being able to witness and share my faith with a lot of people in television and things like that. But eventually, I tried my hand at a couple of things, and some of them began to win prizes, and I did a Christmas special in Latin America one time. Too long of a story to get into, but I wrote the script. I had this idea. It ended up getting produced. As we were producing it, the director, something happened with the director, and which was the Lord, because he wasn't really doing a good job. And I ended up with a production, and the production ended up winning a prize, and it went on the air in 13 countries at Christmas. And that's when the first time that I thought, I kind of know what to do. I don't know how, but I know what to do. And I still didn't pursue it. Eventually, more doors opened up. I was invited to create more and more things, and eventually realized that it came to a point where I had to say, God is calling me to be a producer.
So God was directing you into your calling and your purpose.
Oh, the Lord
without
was
you even
just,
fully realizing what he was doing.
No, and you know, you go through that whole agony that everybody goes through in their life, and you know, where you're going, what do you want me to do, Lord? You still want me to do this? Can you just tell me straight out and I'll do it? And the Lord, I've always think a little bit about, like, you know, those little toy cars as a kid that you just kind of rev up, and you hold it in your hand and you just kind of rev them up in one place, and then at one point you just drop them and they just zoom out. And that's the way I think it was a little bit in my life.
Okay. That's a neat story. That's neat. It's a powerful testimony. And that can help people, because a lot of people find themselves in the same kinds of places as you've mentioned in several places in your story. So today you're the one of the owners of Cat in the Mill Productions. And Justin, what would you say is the mission of your production company?
We use our talents and we use our desperation where talents are lacking to create material that is good quality content and that has good quality itself. In the case of in our case, it's animation, which is traditional animation, CGI, computer generated animation as well. We used to do books and a lot of stuff. We work with a lot of different people now around the world. But it's to create materials that are going to resonate with children. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the script and the writing, but it's also everything that's involved with it, the music, the visualizations and everything. All those things speak to children. And we have a very deep conviction that kids need to be respected. Kids have souls. They not only have eyes and mouths mm-hmm. that laugh and everything, but they have souls and they have to be respected. Mm-hmm. And a child is capable of understanding a lot more sometimes than we realize, even though they may not have the terminology for it.
Right, right. Well, you know, Robert, let me just mention, I'm sharing an opinion, but as a pastor, I'm of the opinion that all entertainment should point to God or honor God or some another. And, you know, when somebody uses their gifts, they're pointing to God whether they realize it or not. And so it's tragic that we live in a world that's so full of entertainment that's darkness. Yes. And it's destructive. And so thank God for ministries and organizations like yours that are trying to do that, to honor God in the work that you do. How would you like for believers to pray for you and your company?
I would think the greatest prayer is to pray for God's will. You know, pray for God's will for us, that we don't spoil what the Lord wants to do through our own desires and our own ambitions, if you want to call it that. Mm. As a production company, we're very busy, right. And we work with people all over the world, and so we're on call a lot of times because of different time zones and all that, so it's easy to get busy. Mm-hmm. But I know from experience we can't do God's work without His power.
Amen.
And so it's that we stay within, we give ourselves to Him constantly so that He can use us the way He wants.
Amen. Amen. Would you take the last 30 seconds just to pray for listeners who might be persons that have a similar desire in their heart to serve the Lord in a similar capacity to you?
Sure. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for our listeners. Lord, whoever it may be that is searching for ways to be able to serve you and
thank you, Lord,
maybe feeling
Jesus.
A little frustration about not knowing what to do, we pray that you bring clarity, Lord, real peace, knowing that that is a prayer that will always be answered.
Thank you.
And that you'll answer it in the most perfect way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I thank you for Robert. Thank you for the Cat in the Mill Productions. And Lord, thank you for your hand of grace upon it. Lord, anoint the ministry with a mighty, mighty anointing. Empowered to be a kingdom vessel that is doing wonderful things for you on a daily basis, touching the lives of millions for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Robert, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.